through the veils now. How many more lifetimes will you donate to the illusion of the ego? Are you ready to directly face the truth of your essential self? It is time to set yourself free.
That is a cut called Isis from her Sacred Alchemy CD. Never have I been so happy with a CD as that one. Every cut is just incredibly beautiful. And we'll use more of these as we do the Sacred Salons every month. But I would encourage you to maybe have that one in your sacred music library. Well, if you're new to the show, I'm your hostess, Karen Tate, and besides being a radio show priestess and scholar and workshop presenter, I'm also the author of two books. The first book that I wrote was Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations, and it's garnered some prestigious endorsements. You can use that book whether you're actually get your passport stamped or whether you're an armchair traveler to discover all the many sacred places of goddess around the world. You see the diversity of our great mother's many, many faces. And my second book, Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth, it actually won an award in 2008 in the spirituality category of USA Best Books Awards. And I describe that book as sort of a template for a group or a solitary practitioner to understand how to embrace the sacred feminine in their life, whether it be, you know, through the perspective of deity archetype or ideal. The book's actually divided into the four elements in spirit. And in the earth section, I talk about the many sacred travels to sacred places around the world and what those esoteric and exoteric experiences were like. The water section is about our emotion and doing ritual. The fire portion is about our passion and tenacity and politics that we sometimes have in the community. And the air section, well, that's about how we're our dedication to Goddess and how she inspires us. There's also a spirit section. Lots of recommendations on things you can do to rebirth Goddess in your life and live a Goddess inspired life, lots of rituals and meditations, and I think you'll enjoy it. So I invite you to check out my website at KarenTate.com, learn more about my books and workshops, and I'm also doing sacred Sunday services once a month in North Hollywood. While you're there at my website, go to the Goddess Store page and scroll all the way down below my books, and you'll see there that I have downloadable meditations free for the taking. They're my gift to you, my listeners. In fact, the meditation I'm going to do a bit later in the show on Isis, it's going to be a journey to her temple, can be found there. So, if you tuned in last night, you expected this salon that we are about to do now, but we had some sort of a technical glitch. I probably hit the wrong button or something like that on the console here, but I'm back this morning. I didn't want to disappoint, and I didn't want to miss this window of time to pay tribute to Isis and the greening of the earth, because this weekend coming is a very important sacred time for Isis. In the ancient world, it was when in Greco-Roman areas of the Mediterranean in Egypt, that's when they honored Isis at a ritual called the Ploephesia or the Isidae Navigium. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that before we do the meditation. But I felt it was important to not wait until next month because like I said, it's a sacred time when we want to send our petitions to Goddess, plant our seeds, launch our boats of desire, and sort of let Goddess hear our petitions and know what it is that we want to ask her to help us with in the coming year. So I would invite you to get comfortable. And because we are about to begin our sacred ritual on the radio. May your mind be clear. May your heart be pure. And may your body be strong. Welcome to our sacred salon as we celebrate Isis and the greening of the earth. If I may, especially since we only do this once a month, I'd like to remind you of our intention as I facilitate the sacred salon. I'd like to provide some sacred space where you can carve out some time for yourself, maybe for your family, for your children, for your friends. Maybe you can share this together or by yourself, whatever you feel inspired to do. It's a niche where you can plug into a like-minded community to seek the divine within, maybe learn some universal truths to strengthen that connection with deity. Maybe it helps you remember who you are. We try to provide some sacred space here to allow you to slip out of our commercialized corporate culture and slip into a new culture, a new paradigm, formed from diverse backgrounds and a rich variety of poetic, mythological, ritual, folk, and mystery traditions. when you're here with me once a month, I just ask that you open your mind to new ideas and feelings. Perhaps after the show, share your thoughts in your journal, or you're welcome to email me as well. Be prepared to find your creativity, your wildness, your inner wisdom. Here during our sacred salons, as I facilitate, I strive for balance, peace, harmony, love, so that we honor the sacred feminine as primary, complemented by the divine masculine. And I hope to exemplify what living a goddess-inspired life is about. And as I begin our sacred salon on the greening of the earth, let us help to shift your mind and begin to embrace the season. Let us remind you of the importance of this time of year. To so many cultures, this was a joyous time. It was a time of hope, potential, rebirth. Spring equinox is coming in the weeks ahead, the time of equal night and day, when the seeds are sown and planted in the ground with the promise of a bountiful harvest later in the year. That's the literal idea of spring equinox, but we do that as well when we send our petitions to Goddess. We plant our seeds or launch our boats or our heart's desires. We plant those in our psyche. We send those out into the universe, and we hope for a bountiful harvest of good works and our wishes coming true. We hope for success and abundance. It's a time of year when everyone would be fat with prosperity if all went well. It's the time of light triumphing over darkness. It's a time when the goddess's love brings us out of the underworld. To the Egyptians, it was the time when Isis was called upon to bless the sailing season, which is synonymous with our journey in the coming year. To Christians, it's the time of Christ's resurrection, like the many pagan dying and rising gods before him. We know from the Book of Esther, the Jews celebrate Purim this time of year, and that's a joyous and fun holiday commemorating Jews who were saved from extermination. St. Patrick's Day is in March, and the shamrock is said to be sacred to Ostara, a pagan goddess. The three-leaf clover variety represents the triple goddess, while the four-leaf clover represents the balance of the four elements. March is also the month in which Cesar Chavez, Dr. Seuss, and Harry Houdini were born. The Chinese celebrate the Lantern Festival, marking the last day of the Chinese New Year season. The month is full of quirky and unusual happenings. For instance, the second week of the month is Bubblegum Week. March 14th is Potato Chip Day, and the following day, March 15th, is the Ides of March, when Caesar was assassinated. And the Swallows return to Capistrano on March 19th. And of course, March 20th, or thereabouts, is the first day of spring, the time of fertility, when eggs were dyed red to symbolize the color of life. On the festival of Astarte, and women often planted gardens to honor the god Adonis. So let us join together in sacred space. Let us revel in the new light and the rebirth and the potential of the greening of earth. I invite you to offer the response, "We have forgotten who we are," to this invocation that opens our sacred salon each month. We have forgotten who we are. We have alienated ourselves from the unfolding of the cosmos. We have become estranged from the movements of the earth. We have turned our backs on the cycles of life. We have forgotten who we are. We have sought only our own security. We have exploited simply for our own ends. We have distorted our knowledge. We have abused our power. We have forgotten who we are. Now the land is barren and the waters are poisoned and the air is polluted. We have forgotten who we are. Now the forests are dying and the creatures are disappearing and the humans are despairing. We have forgotten who we are. We ask forgiveness. We ask for the gift of remembering. We ask for the strength to change. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. That seeds spring, that flower open, that grass grows, we praise thee. For winds that whisper through the shining birth, through the lively pines, through the mighty oak, we praise thee. For all things, O Mother Earth, who gives all life. Now I'd like you to take a moment and visualize in your mind's eye, or maybe even have three candles in front of you. And we're going to light the first candle. And as we light the first candle, we want to rejoice in spring. We want to rejoice in the greening of the earth. So in your mind's eye or with that candle in front of you at your home altar, light that first candle. Soon we will be in our time of spring, in our Lady Fair, when the birds sing gaily, flying through the air, and the sweetly scented flowers in their garments bright color hills and meadows with a lovely sight. Now turn your attention to the second candle. It's the Divinity Candle. And in your mind's eye or with your lighter, light the second candle, because we honor the goddess Isis and Sedna, and the gods Osiris and the Green Man as we light this Divinity Candle, our second candle. And I'd like to share with you the 23rd Psalm Revisited. The goddess is all I shall ever want. She introduces me to the wonders of earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. She is the enticement that draws new life. She opens the door at death. She is the wheel, the circle, the round of birth, life, death, and transformation. Yea, though I walk through the shadowy, chthonic opening of the Shilah Negig, I shall fear no reprisals. Her pomegranate and sheath of grain renew me. She welcomes me back to her mead hall. She anoints my head with her sacred moon blood. My cup overflows. Surely balance and harmony shall accompany me through all my emanations. I shall forever live in the lap of Goddess. Now the third candle before you, either in your mind's eye or the candle that actually sits in front of you, light your third candle. It's the perpetuation candle. And the idea is that those ideas that we talk about today, that these ideas are perpetuated out into the world. To become what we are capable of becoming is our gift to ourselves. Your crescent-shaped barge of heaven, so well belayed, your fertile fields well watered. Pour it out for me, pour it out for me. Everything you give, I will drink. Everything you give me, I will drink to be what we are. Goddess, make us strong in spirit, courageous in action, gentle of heart. Let us act in wisdom, conquer my fear and doubt, and help me to discover my own hidden gifts. Teach me to meet others with compassion, to be a source of healing energy, and face each day with hope and joy. Let us remember we are each a part of the divine. We are each a part of the cosmos. We are interconnected. We affect each other and the world around us. With that comes great responsibility. Let us pray that we may at all times keep our mind open to new ideas, that we may grow in our understanding of the nature of all living beings and our connectedness with the natural world, that we may become ever more filled with generosity of spirit and true compassion and love for life. We pray that all of humanity one day feel the pulse of Mother Earth in their feet as they tread, and that humankind find the faith to believe in the messages carried by their dreams and see beyond the visible world. Lord Byron wrote, "There is music in the sighing of a reed. There is music in the gushing of a rill. There is music in all things if we only had ears. Their earth is but an echo of the spheres." Yes, we are but a microcosm of the macrocosm. We reflect and echo the harmonies of the music of the spheres. We are but one human family as time and distance dims. We are part of the continuum, if only we would listen closely enough to hear it. Well, as I thought about what I would talk about regarding our topic, the greening of the earth and our tribute to Isis, I felt I wanted to offer something practical, as well as show how absent a goddess Bible, the divine feminine mythology or spirituality actually does offer us a template for sustainable living on Mother Earth. So let's first talk a bit about how Goddess really does offer us benchmarks or guides for shaping our beliefs and values. First, let's take the myth of the Inuit goddess Sedna, which embraces the idea of ecology, environmentalism, as well as teaching us that we should take only what we need and resist the temptation for greed. Excuse me. I'm going to take a minute and pull out my book, Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations, because I wrote about the goddess Sedna, the Inuit goddess. And if you happen to have the book, I'm turning to page 330, where I wrote about the sacred places of goddess in North America. And Sedna lives around the area of Canada and Alaska in the waters of Newfoundland. And let me just read just a little excerpt here that explains why the Inuit goddess Sedna embraces ideas of ecology and environmentalism and suggests to us that we should too. Sedna, woman of the depth of the sea, provides ecological balance from her sacred dome temple beneath the watery depths that surround the North American continent. Here in the land of the midnight sun at alternating times of the year, inhabitants experience 24-hour periods of light followed 6 months later by 24 hours of darkness. The Inuits, or the people, depended on this creatrix for the animals of the waters. It is from these animals they sustain themselves as the sea creatures provide their food, clothing, and other essentials for life, such as weapons and tools to survive in this harsh environment. Sedna is known by many names and overlapping myths. She is called the Dear Wife, the Great Woman, or Sitna, and some other names I can't pronounce. In syncretized myth, she is believed to have created the animals which live in the waters from the joints of her own fingers, which were cruelly cut off, some say by her father, others say by villagers who rejected her. Consequently, she and the animals and the fish, they share DNA. Thus, whatever catastrophe befalls the animals and fish also is suffered by Sedna, who has the power to apply justice and set things right. As each joint of her fingers were cut with an axe and fell into the murky depths of the waters, the creatures of the deep were born. And in those depths, Sedna lived among the creatures of the undersea. According to her legends, her beautiful domed house beneath the sea was guarded by seals that stand on their rear flippers and threaten to bite any trespassers, though fish, whales, seals, and other seabirds may come and go as they will. She finally gave up her human form to become Sedna, goddess of the sea and the moon, controlling the fishes and the other sea mammals for which her people depended on for food. She was believed by the Inuits to look like a mermaid with the head and torso of a woman and the tail of a fish. Some myths have her with one all-seeing eye in the middle of her forehead. Sedna sometimes needed to be appeased for man to have a safe and successful hunt. As such, she would have control over the fates of humankind. She's also said by some to be associated with the domain of death, which is believed to lie adjacent to her dome temple. According to one scholar, Ake Holtzkranz, if pollution damaged the environment, if the flesh of sea and land creatures were cooked together, or if the Arctic wildlife was abused with unnecessary hunting and fishing, Sedna would punish the people for these taboos, for their selfishness, by calling back the animals and fish so food would then be scarce. Effectively, Sedna was the guardian of the creatures, the keeper of balance, and effectively, she was the mistress of the animals. In these many guises, Sedna is reminiscent of the Eurasian mother goddess. In times of famine, the shaman would be called upon to journey down to the waters where Sedna lived and combed her unruly hair to attempt to soothe her anger, because remember, Sedna had no fingers. Interesting story. And if you do have my book on page 331, you see two versions of Sedna, goddess of the Arctic undersea realm. Hope you enjoyed that story. We see goddess as nature. She teaches us the need for balance. You can just think back to science classes when you studied ecosystems. If ecosystems get out of balance, it can have disastrous results, species and environments can be irreparably damaged, destroyed, and can disappear. And dare I get a little political and say, I think nature dispels the idea of Republicans who always want to profess trickle-down economics. Well, you know, they say trickle down, you know, let the rich have all the benefits and let the wealth trickle down to us. Well, what have you ever seen growing from the top down? Not much trickles down. Instead, we see nature teaches us for stable growth, we must plant our seeds in fertile ground, nurture those seeds, nourish those seeds, and abundance grows from the ground up. Prosperity comes from the ground up with much care and nurturing and nourishment. All this idea of individualism, we're all on our own, that's not the goddess way. And finally, I offer some excerpts from a fun piece that Sister Priestess Marsha discovered, both relevant and practical, and helps us remember to get out from under the covers, away from the hearth, and out from in front of our solitary existence in front of the computer. Just in Time for Spring, it's called. It was first published in The New Yorker, I believe, and it was written by Ellis Weiner. And he introduces the idea of going outside, the astounding multi-purpose activity platform that will revolutionize the way you spend your time. Going outside is not a game or a program, not a device or an app, not a protocol or an operating system. Instead, going outside is a comprehensive experiential mode that lets you perceive and do things firsthand. Going outside supports real-time experience through seamless mind-body interface. By going outside, you'll rediscover the joy and satisfaction of actually doing something. It's completely hands-free, no keyboards, mice, controllers, touchpads, joysticks. And going outside delivers authentic 3D real motion video and no lag time or artifacts. Delivers head-free surround sound, no headphones, earbuds, speakers, or soundbar arrays required, and yet amazingly you hear everything. Well, the article goes on a little bit more, but I think you get the idea. To go outside, go into nature, go hug a tree. You know, millions of people have already tried going outside. Many of your friends may even be going outside right now. Why not join them and see what happens? Just go to a place where there are people and speak to them, but be careful, they might speak back. Or you know what, you can sit there all alone, you know, at the seaside, at a babbling brook, under a tree in the shade, in your garden, and just be alone with yourself. Talk to yourself, talk to Goddess, but go outside. Go out in nature this spring. Well, we've come to the part of the Sacred Salon where I want us to start to get ready for the Isis meditation. I actually have it on an audio that I'm going to play for you. But I don't remember if it has an intro, so I want to tell you a little bit, and I hope what I'm about to say is not redundant with the audio. In ancient times, it was around the first weekend of March, there was a great festival of Isis, as I mentioned at the top of the salon. It was called the Isidae Navigium, or Ploephesia. It marked the blessing of the sailing season when food from Egypt, intended to fill the bellies of the hungry in other countries, as well as travelers, well, that all set sail for other lands. People and clergy from the temples of Isis would come from miles around to take part in this most important celebration, which some of you may know. My Iseum in the Fellowship of Isis recreated on the beaches of Malibu for about 10 years. Well, today we're going to pay tribute to Isis and that sacred ritual with our meditation. And during ancient times, they actually launched a ship that was laden with offerings upon the waves. And what we used to do out on the beach is everybody actually had their individual ice boat made of different colors. And what we did was we gave each a person one, and they breathed their prayer, their intention into the ice boat, and they walked down to the shore. You know, into the water up to their ankles or calves, and they launched that ice boat into the waters of the mother. You know, just like in ancient times when the priests of Isis launched the boat laden with offerings to Isis, we launched our individual ice boats. In other words, we were casting out our petitions, our prayer, our hopes and dreams that Isis would hear these prayers. And as the water, you know, the ice boat melted and the waters of the boat blended with the waters of the ocean, we became one with the earth and our great mother, and we knew she heard our plea, she heard our petition. So you can maybe think about that, maybe even do that, you know, in your own area. You know, go out there. Sometimes when we brought the ritual inside, instead of launching an ice boat, we had a heart-shaped ice, and we launched our heart's desires. We melted it, you know, in a beautiful dish at the Isis altar. And as the ice, our heart's desire, the ice melted in the water, it was just as if, you know, we light a candle and the smoke wafted up into the, you know, the ethers. You know, it's the same sort of idea. The ice melts and sends our petition, you know, to the ears of the goddess. So anyway, get comfortable. I'm going to find the meditation here. Find yourself a comfortable place and get ready. And this lasts for a few minutes, so just sit back and relax, and we're going to take you on a journey to the Temple of Isis as our tribute to her. So here goes.
This is Karen Tate, and I'd like to invite you to come along with me on a sacred journey. It's going to be a guided meditation to the Temple of Isis in Egypt. And this is a meditation that the group I founded used every year for an annual ritual of Isis during springtime. So you are about to enter sacred space. I'd like to invite you to take a minute to settle down. No talking, please. Make sure your phone is turned off or your pager, because it's time to begin to take our transition and go within, to shift our consciousness so that we can take this journey together. We're going to take this sacred journey using our breath, our mind, the movie screen of our third eye, and our divine goddess self. We'll be here and there simultaneously, then and now, past and present. We are part of the continuum of Isis worshippers from ancient times that continues on today, growing stronger as the divine feminine becomes more a part of mainstream life. Now, I want you to be sure you're comfortable for this journey. I'd like to ask you to take some deep breaths. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Breathe deeply. Let's do this together several times. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Now close your eyes and breathe in deeply and breathe out. Let the worries of the day, the traffic, any outside concerns all just fall away. Continue to breathe in and breathe out, keeping your eyes closed. Let's try to keep our eyes closed for the entire sacred journey, and let the scenes I suggest come alive on the movie screen of your third eye. If other ideas interrupt, just let them gently fall away and just return to the sound of my voice and the journey we're taking together. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. Now, see yourself standing at the dock of the River Nile in Egypt. As you wait to board your boat, you look at the waterway stretching before you. You've waited such a long time for this day. There's excitement in the air as those around you and yourself are about to be granted passage for the journey to the Isis Temple to celebrate her annual festival. Everyone has come wearing their finest clothing and jewelry. You have bathed in a sacred fashion before departing. You've perfumed your body with the best oils of the Blue Lotus. And you've been in White Galabaya. You've made yourself beautiful for the day's celebration and for Isis. You look down and see the sandals upon your feet, and you begin to press forward toward your boat. Looking down at your feet, you walk down the steps of the dock toward the boat that will take you to Isis. You go down the first few steps, breathing in and breathing out. Breathing deeply, you go farther down the dock, down, down. Going nearer your destination, you take the steps still ahead, going even farther down. Lower and lower you descend until you are about to step aboard the beautiful boat with the white sails that will transport you to your destination of the Isis Temple. You easily climb aboard the boat and find a seat. Taking a breath, you feel the excitement in the air around you. It's tangible. You see people on the shore waving to you and bidding you a wondrous journey. You're excited with anticipation, too. You've waited for months for the seat upon the golden barge of Isis, for this chance to visit Isis in her temple and ask her for her blessings. You know that she is the goddess of abundance, the creatrix of all there is. You know she, above all others, can grant you what it is you desire for the coming year. You go to her in a spirit of gratitude for what she has bestowed upon your life. You go to her in love, appreciation, and expectation, because you know if you are grateful, if you believe, you will receive. You feel the boat pulling away from the dock. You hear the din from the crowd, the excited whispers of those around you, but you transfix and focus on the sights and sounds you see as you begin to move forward along the waters of the River Nile. You notice the sweetness in the air from the incense burning near you. You breathe it in. You also soak in the coolness of the day. The green and billowy papyrus growing alongside of the river and the marshes smell like freshly mown grass. You look up, seeing and hearing the wind upon the sails of your boat blowing in the wind, casting you even farther forward. You revel in the gentleness of the cool breeze upon your face. You breathe in the air which fills your lungs and gives you life. You continue along the journey, having just received the gifts of air. You look up into the blue sky, full of the soft and fluffy clouds that remind you of cotton. Birds fly overhead. You notice above you the wingspan of a hawk-like bird, reminiscent of Horus, the son of Isis. You notice how the bright light from the sun's rays casts shadows and plays upon all you see. You enjoy the nurturing warmth of the golden and glowing sun upon the top of your head and on your bare skin. You silently thank the sun for its life-giving rays, which helps the crops grow that fill your hearth with the delicious food, making you strong and healthy. You continue along the journey, having received the gifts of fire. Next, you see the long-legged ibis bird standing in the shallow water along the shore of the river as your boat passes. Your heart and mind revels in the beauty of this delicate bird's beauty. You see, mostly hidden beneath the water, the huge head of a hippopotamus. Were it not for his eyes, you might not have noticed the silent beast of the Nile. You can see schools of fish jumping alongside your boat as if escorting you along the river towards your destination. Ahead at the shore, children are playing with the family water buffalo, jumping from his back as if he were a diving board. You focus on the waves of the Nile lapping alongside your boat. You know beneath the dark waters, the place from where life emerges, there is an abundance of gifts to support all life. You continue along the journey, having realized you have just received the gifts of water. You look ahead, and in the distance, you begin to see the temple. The majestic structure draws closer and closer. You see throngs of people all walking along the shoreline toward the sacred temple of Isis. They're all dressed in their finery. Some are in costume. Women are dressed as men. Some men are dressed as women. They carry mirrors. They carry images of deities. They carry portable altars fixed upon the tops of long poles. You see exotic felines being walked on long leashes. Some women are throwing flowers into the air. They're singing and dancing and celebrating. People of all classes are converging upon the temple for this important ritual of thanksgiving and petition. Some are riding horses. Others come in makeshift carts pulled by donkeys. You hear the bray of the camels in the caravan making its way alongside the river. The beasts laden with the gifts for Isis's golden ship, which will be cast out upon the waters in offering. The sick and elderly come. The rich and poor come. Women are carried in golden palanquins. Children come with their siblings and parents. They all come in procession, walking along the green strip of abundance that grows alongside the Nile. The green growing abundance that is Osiris, consort and brother of Isis. All around you, you see the budding of spring, the crops in the field, the promise of abundance for the coming year, and ahead, the gigantic stones quarried from the earth that comprise the temple of Isis. You realize you're about to conclude your journey to the temple of Isis, realizing you have now received the gifts of air, fire, water, and earth, all her elements. Your boat pulls alongside the dock in front of the Isis temple. Your eyes are magnetically pulled toward the beauty and majesty that is her temple. You follow those with you on your boat toward the entrance, walking between the avenue of sphinxes which lead toward the temple. You see many of the people you saw walking in procession toward the temple and you join in. There's a carnival-like atmosphere. Your skin tingles and your hair stands up on the back of your neck in response to the joy and excitement in the air. Your senses are on overload with the smell of incense, the sound of the animals, and the voices of the people. Soon you are upon the gigantic doorway of the temple, and beyond you know is the holiest part of that temple, the cella, the inner sanctum, the holy of holies where Isis herself lies beyond these doors. Not everyone is allowed within this holy sanctum. You know how very lucky you are to be a part of this year's audience. A hush falls upon those gathered there. You barely breathe, lest your breath break the spell of anticipation. Everyone instinctively becomes quiet, reverent, transfixed upon the doors before them, which you sense are about to open. And they do, ever so slowly. You know you have arrived at the cella, the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum of the Temple of Isis, Lady of Mystery and Magic herself. And as the doors open, you see before you a throne, and beside the throne, a priestess, and you see her beckoning to you. She wants you to come and sit upon the throne of Isis. Yes, you. She beckons you closer. She's inviting you to be one with the goddess, to receive her gifts as she has done with so many pharaohs before now. So you approach the throne, and you sit upon the chair, and instinctively you open your senses wider. ever wider. You open yourself to hear what you must hear. You open yourself to feel what you must feel. You allow yourself to see in your mind's eye what she shows you. It may be different each time you visit. It may be different for each one gathered here. But just take your time. Just sit within the lap of the goddess upon her throne. Sit quietly. Let yourself be open. Hear what you must hear. Feel what you must feel. See in your mind's eye what she shows you. Soon you feel the gentle touch of the priestess. With her gentle touch, you feel her trying to awaken you and bring you back from the place you have visited. You're seated upon the throne. You're coming back to this place because you remember you were there and here simultaneously. It is then and now, past and present. You are and have been part of the continuum of goddess worshippers from ancient time that continues on today, growing ever stronger with each passing day. Remember, you can go back and visit this place, this holy of goddess. It now lives within your mind, your heart, and your body. Travel back here as you must. Receive what she has for you. She is always there. You can always access her. She is always there for you. Now, take a deep breath and open your eyes. Bring yourself back into the room from where you started. You might want to shake your hands and wiggle your toes, say your name out loud, maybe grab something to eat. And I thank you for trusting me to take you on the sacred journey. This is Karen Taylor.
I hope you enjoyed that. And I hope you were able to receive something from the goddess Isis. But if you didn't this time, worry not. You may receive your message in a dream, or you may want to come back and do the meditation over again. You can find it on my website, or you can play this podcast again. So, as we're back to our sacred salon, you know, I just want to make the connection again that just as earth-based people who, you know, or earth-based spirituality folks, so just as they plant their seeds this time of year with spring, well, Iseans launch their boats. And, you know, today we have... have gone to the Isis temple and we have received her gifts. And you can take this weekend, if you like, to spend a little bit more time with Isis, maybe launch your own ice boat or your heart's desire, or just, you know, go to your altar and light a candle and give thanks and gratitude. you know, and talk to her. Tell her what it is she might help you with in the coming year. So as our sacred salon comes to a close, I want to leave you with some affirmations about spring, because within you there is an inner seed of radiance just waiting to grow. And here's one affirmation that I like. It goes like this. Ah, the garden, there is magic in the dirt. Or, it's never too late to be what you might have been. The potential of the seed awaits. And finally, when I let go of who I am, I become who I might be. And for we're getting close to the end of the salon where we do our prayer of remembering. And I invite you to share the closing response that goes like this. You would say, we rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We live in all things. All things live in us. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We live by the sun. We move by the stars. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We eat from the earth. We drink from the rain. We breathe from the air. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We share with the creatures. We have strength through their gifts. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We depend on the forests. We have knowledge through their secrets. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We have the privilege of seeing and understanding. We have the responsibility of caring. We have the joy of celebrating. We are full of the grace of creation. We remember who we are. You know, I want to give credit for the opening prayer that we did, We Have Forgotten Who We Are, and then this bookend piece, We Remember Who We Are. If you like it as much as I do, you can actually find it on the United Nations website. It's there, and that's where we got it from, and we use this in our Sacred Sunday services, and I'll be using this in the sacred salons because I feel they're so appropriate, because we have forgotten who we are, but we can remember. Now, as you extinguish the three candles in front of you that we lit at the beginning of the service, whether you do it because they're sitting in front of you or you're doing it in your mind's eye, extinguish the first candle. That was the candle of spring. Extinguish the second candle, which honored our deities, and extinguish the third candle, the perpetuation candle, the candle of potential, because we know spring is the season of potential, and at the beginning of the year, our year has such potential and the promise of abundance. So in closing, I'd like to say I hope I've helped you begin anew today and build on the ideas that were offered in the Sacred Salon. And as we close, let's further cleanse our minds, our palates, our souls, and our voices with this closing prayer called I Cleanse My Soul. I cleanse my mind and heart with the coming light. I cleanse my soul in the dews of coming spring. Light of minds, refreshing dew. Love of hearts, renewing dew. Life's beings, restoring dew. Cleanse and recreate my mind, voice, and soul this day. May the hearts and minds of all beings be peaceful from the fall of night till day's dear light. Well, I want to thank you for being with me for this Sacred Salon. And remember, we will do this the first week of each month. Next Sacred Salon will be honoring Astara. And we'll have another meditation to Astara. And if you're a regular to the show or not, I just want to let you know next Thursday I'll be interviewing Diane Paxson. She's written numerous books. She's going to be talking about her new book about oracles from ancient times to how oracles or alive and useful today. And Denise Dumars, she's going to be talking about Victorian occultists. So with that, I would like to close the show with a little bit of music from Abigail Spinner McBride called The Arms of the Mother. Thank you for tuning in, listeners, and I'll see you next Thursday.
Evil Mama.